morning.
Good morning.
Boy, I went out to the car this morning. There was this white stuff all over the windshield. I was like, what is going on here? It was chilly this morning. It's nice to see everyone getting up. You probably have your, I turned my heat on. I don't know about you, but I broke in. The flowers on our altar this morning are from Sandy Dunn. And they are in honor of Trisha's birthday. She would throw something at me if she had it in her hand right now. But we shared that, and I remembered that. So nice big note, so I would remember. We have a bunch of different things going on. There's a board meeting at 11:30. We have pancakes, so it may be 11:30. What? You told me we had pancakes.
Next week.
Next week. Okay. All right, we'll be on time count 11:30 because there's no pancakes. This Tuesday, remember, we have prayer here at 6:30. That'll connect in great with the sermon. So, bonfire, you think it's going to happen Friday?
You know, I hope so. If not, we'll do it Saturday. Yep. We'll send out a text or an email to let y'all know. And if we do it Saturday, we'll do it a little bit earlier in the day so that it's not dark.
Okay.
And if you're coming, whether it's Friday or Saturday, if you have a lawn chair you want to bring, that would be great.
Okay. Looks like it's going to be...
Sure. Trunk or Treat is coming up, and we need candy. I'll have a box in the kitchen if you want to donate bags of candy. We need people who will decorate their cars. We need people to be greeters and welcome the kids and the families who come. And we'll have some games and pumpkin painting. So just see me if you'd like to spend a couple of hours on Saturday the 22nd from 3 to 5 here at church. It'll be a lot of fun.
Okay. Looks like Friday's going to be rain in the morning, so you'll be okay. John covered all up first. Next week, we're going to have a guest preacher. Jessica Carter will be preaching next week here. And also next week is the second session of the Style of Ministry. So we'll do that downstairs, and I think everybody who didn't sign up the first time
should
be signed up the second time. So check with that. Let me see. Ditty bags. This is the month for putting ditty bags together. So that's women ministry, so please keep that in mind. Does anyone have anything? Oh, do you need this?
I don't need that. So if you don't want to go to a bonfire, if that's not your thing, I'm gone. But there will be someone here for Crafty Friday, so you can still come to do something on Friday that's indoors. If, you know, because some people find part of not their thing, but, you know, it's all about being with fellowship and having a safe place to go and being together. So that's, I just want to put that out there. From 6 to 8 on Friday for Crafty Friday.
Okay. I came. The last week or week before, and there was tons of women. They're making all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
Look like little elves, actually. They were just passing things to the next person. Does anyone have anything they would like to? Here.
Thank you.
You're ready to go.
So, as you may know, because I've talked about it before, we are still doing kids' snack pack bags, even though school has started. We do sell families who need the extra food, and we actually have another family that's been coming for the past 2 weeks to get things. So we have some bags made up downstairs right now that should last us for the next couple of weeks, but we really don't have enough beyond that. So if anybody feels led to donate, we could use breakfast items, snack items, or lunch items. If you don't know what would be a good idea for that, if you're like, I don't know what to get, Christy, come see me after church, but like, Pop-Tarts, Nutri-Grain bars, mac and cheese, Chef Boyardee, SpaghettiOs, granola bars, any kind of snack, anything that a kid would want to eat. The kids who have been getting them are teenagers. It's not so many little kids. So keep that in mind. And I appreciate any and all donations. And so do the families who are getting the stuff. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Does anyone else have anything they would like to share this morning? Well, I would like to pause for a moment just to acknowledge our praise team. I think you guys need to be really appreciative of all of those guys there, that they really do a great job. And from talking to other pastors at other churches, they would give tons of their salary to have what we have. We need to be thankful for it, because some praise teams, they say, we're going to do... Some praise teams, their big deal is doing number 983 or number 364. I call them up and I say, hey, can you do Praise You in the Storm from the Casting Crowns? And they're going to do it today. So that's a real treat. Please let them also know when you see them. Embarrass them. Let us now please stand for Introit number 386.
Let us cry aloud to God.
That the Lord might hear us.
In the day of our trouble, we seek the Lord.
When our souls refuse to be comforted, when we think of God and groan, when we pray and our spirits faint.
Let us call to mind the deeds of the Lord.
Let us remember God's wonder of old. Let us ponder all of God's work. Let us reflect.
Your way, O God, is holy.
You are God who works wonders.
You have displayed your glory among the peoples.
With your strong arm and your nail-scarred hands, you have redeemed your people. Thanks be to God. Amen.
God who sent him.
Please join me in prayer. Lord, as we lift our voices in one accord, we worship you alone, the King of the universe, majesty on high. All power and glory and honor and praise belong to you, Almighty King. How is it, Lord, that in all your glory and in the midst of all your creation, you made a way for each one of us to come to you? As you did with Jacob, you made a way for us to ask of you what is in our hearts, to seek diligently for answers, and to knock until you reveal your ways to us. O Lord, keep us focused on you, on your way, and not on our own. Help us to step out in faith and to be fully seen by you. We pray, Lord, that the eyes and ears of our hearts will be open to all you are revealing to us. We ask all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
Morning. Our scripture reading this morning is Genesis 32, 22 through 31 on page 26 in your pew Bible. Jacob wrestles at Peniel. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God's face to face, yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Gary. Yeah. I was sure by now God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again I say amen, and it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. I'll praise you in this song, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am, and every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry, you raised me up again. My strength is almost gone, I cannot carry on if I can't find you. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain,
start off, and I ask that you join in with some of your prayers and concerns, joys, whatever you want to share to God. Lift them up to Him, don't tell me. Lift them up to Him, you're talking to Him. Would you please bow in prayer with me? Father God, we come here today. It's a chilly morning, but it's going to be a beautiful day. The sky is blue, it's gorgeous. We just, flowers look spectacular, and the leaves are amazing, Lord. It's just, your work is amazing, Father. We lift that all up to you. We praise and thank you, and we ask that we're able to actually pause and enjoy this day. enjoy all the work that you do. Father God, we know that we have struggles in our life. We do have times when we just lift everything up to you. We find that we're struggling, our kids are struggling, we have relatives that are struggling, and we don't know what to do. Unfortunately, that happens a lot of times, God, and we just pray that you hear our prayers. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for caring about us and wanting us to open ourselves up to you, want us to tell you what's on our minds, to tell you what is going wrong, to share that with you and to ask for your help and your guidance, to ask for your protection, Lord. We don't walk alone, Lord, and we thank you for that. We lift up the Sunday school that's getting back going, and we just pray that you put your hand of protection around each of the kids and just give them guidance, but just as important, be with their parents, Lord. Be with their parents to bring them here and guide them in all they have to do in their homework and their studies, and just we lift that up to you, Father. And now I lift it up to...
Lord, we pray that many, many others will start making church a habit.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Father God, there's so many that are... they're still home. They may just talk calmly to you, but they're not praying to you, Lord. They're not looking to you. They're not coming back to church, giving themselves up to you for what your will and your want in this world, Father. We pray for them. We pray for our leadership of our church. And we're going to have a meeting today. We pray for your guidance, Lord. We pray to you to intercede on our behalf and push us and pull us and yank us and help us with making decisions, Lord. We lift each and every one here. We thank you and praise you for all that you're doing in our church. And we put it all before you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. It's a wee bit of a tough one because this sermon is on prayer. And it's on the power of prayer. So I'm glad I don't have to follow the sermon with a prayer. There once was a man who was very faithful at praying. He had a great prayer life, and every morning when he got up, he would kneel by his bed and he would pray, God bless me, God bless my family, and God bless this day. And before each meal, he would say, God bless this food. And every night when he went to bed, he would say, God bless me, God bless my family, and God bless this night. And every time he prayed, he would take a walnut and he would put it in a glass jar. And when he filled the jar, he would grab another one. Over the years, his house became filled with glass jars, all filled with walnuts. They were on his shelves and his bookcases. They were on his windowsills. They were everywhere. Walnuts everywhere, thousands of them. And the man felt very pleased with himself because every time he looked at these jars, he saw the walnuts and he said, just look at all the prayers that I have prayed, he would say. And then one night he had a dream. And in his dream, Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus took each one of the glass jars. He opened them and he took the walnuts out one by one. And when he opened them up, every one of the walnuts was empty. Nothing but dryness and dust. And Jesus said to him, you know your prayers are like that. Although you've said thousands of them, they're empty, they're dry, and they're meaningless. Leonard Ravenhill is an evangelist and author who focused his attention on prayer and revival. The church, he said, has many organizers, but few agonizers. Many who pay, but few who pray. Many wrestlers, but few wrestlers. Many who are enterprising, but few who are interceding. Tithes build the church, but tears give it life. That's the difference between the modern church and the early church. And the matter of effective praying never has so many left so much to so few. Just ask the four people who show up for our Tuesday night prayer. Derek Morris opens his book, The Radical Prayer, with these words. All too often we simply pray weak prayers, such as, Dear God, help me have a nice day. Help me not get so angry today. But Jesus challenges each one of us, each one of his followers, to pray radical prayers. They can be short, but they certainly won't be weak. Morris adds, if you have a passion to make a difference in the world, if you have a longing to see Jesus return in glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then I invite you to learn to pray a radical prayer. Once you begin to pray radical prayers in faith, it will open you up for great and wonderful things to happen. Your life will truly be transformed, and you will never be the same again. Challenging words, but true. Prayer can be a touchy subject, and I'm certainly not questioning anyone's prayer routine or how you pray, your feelings, and I'm not questioning your heart. Many times we stand up here and we do the best that we can, myself included. Some people are shy and they feel that they'll be judged for their prayers because they feel they don't measure up, while others seem to pray as if they're the second coming of Billy Graham. As disciples of Christ, we're asked to look deeper, to give more, and to, yes, expect more. God simply wants our prayers to be from our heart, mano a mano with him. Not putting on a show like the Pharisees, but remember, Jacob is alone with God. My prayers when I'm alone with God are completely different than my prayers when I'm standing up here. Maybe we use the scripture this morning to simply take a step back. Think about our prayer life, our commitment, our expectations. Do our prayers equal our expectations? I know the question many of you are asking when your mother, father, grandparents, a child was dying. Your friends and your family prayed. The church prayed. You prayed your butt off. You challenged, you hollered, you begged God. But God didn't seem to answer your prayers. Well, maybe he did. It just wasn't the answer that you were looking for. In one instance, the answer is yes. In one instance, the answer is no. And life goes on. The Lord offers no explanation, or interpretation of his response, so there's really only one conclusion that we can draw. God will do what is best, and we must continue to trust him regardless of the outcome. I was in a prayer circle with some other pastors one time, and I said, which I do, like to talk to God while I'm driving. I like to pray. I like to talk to him. Another pastor hollered that that wasn't the kind of prayer that God wanted from us. Well, you're jumping ahead of me now. Because what he's saying, that's fine, you're praying to God. Are you giving God 100%? You can't do that if you're driving. Are you giving God 100%? When you come to church today, or any time, when you come to church, are you giving God 100%? That means you don't look at your cell phone. You're not checking on the Giant game, which I'd love to do right now, but you're not doing that. You're not thinking about other stuff. You're here to worship. And that's what God's asking. And you think simply, he's saying, 1 hour a week? Do you have 1 hour a week to give me your full attention? And that's what he's asking when we're praying. He wants your full attention in praying, and maybe he'll talk back to you. I was just telling someone when I was kid, I would sit next to my father, and I loved sitting next to my father when I came to church, because he was 9,000 feet tall, and I was a little kid, and I'd sit there. But boy, if you started to screw around, you'd get that look. And he wasn't like my mother. You couldn't get around. He'd give that look. And that was a pretty terrifying look to get. And one time he looked at me and he said, I'm not here to babysit you. I'm here to worship. And he goes, you're here to worship. And it was just makes you think a little bit, you know, that's what my father was there for. And that meant a lot to me. Karl Barth, a Swiss theologian, I love this. He said, to clasp your hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder in the world. I like that word, uprising. It reminds me of what Jesus says in Matthew 11, 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffices violence. And that violent takes it by force. Have you ever thought of in your prayer life in that way? As a violent thing? A forceful thing? That holds heaven to ransom? That holds God to his promises? Well, that's radical prayer. Radical prayer. The word comes from the Latin word redi. Or as we say in Northfield when we talk Latin, radix. Which means root. That means that radical prayer goes straight to the root of the issue. Radical prayer gives us a glimpse of the transformation and the explosive power of praying in God's will, a power that takes place internally and manifests externally. A power that takes place internally and manifests externally. It's hard to know what to make out of our text this morning. I mean, our scripture says Jacob was left alone and the man wrestled with him till daybreak. This wasn't like two WWE wrestlers wrestling all decked out in their fancy clothes and they're slamming down in that forgiving stage. I guess you could think of this more like two sumo wrestlers going at it, but more likely in the spirit, heart, and mind. Jacob believed his wrestling partner was God. Indeed, at the end of a long night wrestling, Jacob said, for I have seen God face to face. This is a strange story and encompasses so many chapters prior and after. But let's envision that Jacob, up to this moment in his life, has given all he had. He now finds himself at the point where everything he could do, all that he could imagine of getting done, is done. He has reached both mentally and physically the point of total exhaustion, total frustration, and he finds himself now all alone. He questioned where he is and how he got there and what will happen, and he starts praying. His prayers are not soft and sweet. He starts to talk to God honestly, and his prayers get forceful. They get violent, they get radical. And as he prays, he got deeper and deeper and deeper into his problem. I mean, let's admit it, things weren't looking good for Jacob. The situation looked hopeless. His angry brother was coming after him with 400 men. It looked like this could be the end. But radical prayers refused to accept the status quo. Radical prayers refused to believe that things have to be the way that they appear. The great reformer Martin Luther said, the might of prayers is so great it has overcome both heaven and earth. And he speaks of conquering God through prayer, in the sense that we are seeking to bind God to his own promises. Look, God, you said. Look, God, you promised. When the reality of it is what was facing you, when the reality of what you see doesn't match the will or the promises of God, we need to get on our knees and hold God to his word. And that's radical prayer. And that's exactly what Jacob did. faced with the hostility of his brother, faced with certain death, he got on his knees and he held God to the promises that God had made. Genesis 32, 9 through 12. Then Jacob prayed, "O God, my father Abraham, God, my father Isaac, O Lord, you said to me, go back to your country and your relatives and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness that you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed the Jordan, but now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hands of my brother Esau, for I'm afraid that he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and will make you and your descendants like the sands of the sea, which cannot be counted." And then he wrestled with God. What do you think he meant when he said, "I will not let you go until you bless me"? He's not talking about prosperity. I mean, this is the guy that's given his brother 220 goats and 220 sheep and 30 camels and 40 cows and 10 bulls and 30 donkeys. He had enough wealth. What he wanted, Jacob wants to be blessed by being reconciled with his brother. True disciples are not satisfied with simplistic answers and stale, pious religious statements. So they spend their lives wrestling with God, especially during times of struggle. For example, after years of praying for a child with no results, Abraham and Sarah wrestled with God. Frustrated with leading the people of Israel through the wilderness, Moses wrestled with God. Sick in mind, body, and spirit, Job wrestled with God. David wrestled with God. Crying out to God in anger and anguish, the prophet Jeremiah wrestled with God. After repeatedly praying for healing but not receiving it, the apostle Paul wrestled with God. And in anguish over his inability to believe that Jesus was alive, Thomas wrestled with God. Theologian Walter Wink writes that radical prayer is impertinent, persistent, shameless, unbecoming. It's more like haggling at an outdoor bazaar than the polite monologues that we do in church. Like Abraham, we bargain with God over the fate of a city. Like Moses, we argue with God over the fate of the people. Like Esther, we plead with God over the fate of the nation. Through radical prayer, we stand against the status quo, and we hold God to his word and to his promises. In Acts 16, there's the story of Paul and Silas in prison. They had been beaten. They had been thrown in jail. But they weren't defeated. They didn't sit around with their chains and say, "That's it, we're done for, we're giving up." They didn't moan and groan. They didn't accept the status quo. The Bible says they prayed right there in the dark, dank, smelly prison, wrapped in their chains. They prayed, and their prayers challenged the status quo. Their prayers challenged what was. Radical prayers challenge and change the status quo. Jacob wasn't prepared to accept the status quo. He wasn't prepared to go forward with things mentally, saying, "Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be." He said, "Things can be different. Things will be different." And that night is the most famous, perhaps bizarre wrestling match that ever took place. That night, Jacob wrestled with God. He took God to task and held him to his promises. He held him to his word. "I will not let go until you do what you promised. I will not let go until you keep your word. I will not let go until you bless me." And while Jacob wrestled with God in prayers, something quite remarkable happened. As Jacob prayed over here, something changed over there. While Jacob was praying here, a change was happening in his brother, Esau, over there. How do we know that? Well, it's in Genesis 32:6. It says that when the messengers returned, "We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you with 400 of his men." Fearing for his life, Jacob got on his knees and he pleaded again with God, wrestling with God until God blesses him. And then in chapter 33, it says, Jacob looked up and he saw Esau coming with 400 men. Verse 4, Esau ran to meet Jacob and kill him? No, to embrace him. He threw his arms around his neck and he kissed him and they wept. You see, while Jacob was praying over here, a change was happening in Esau over there. He went from being angry, vengeful, spiteful, and hate-filled person to a loving, caring, forgiving brother. Radical prayer doesn't only challenge the status quo, it changes the status quo. Jacob spent the rest of his life limping wherever he went because radical prayer that he prayed that night, his prayer was answered. The status quo was changed, but it came as a personal loss. So be careful of what you pray for. You might just get it, and it usually does come with a cost. There's a wonderful clip in the film Evan Almighty. God is explaining what happens when you pray, and he says, if someone prays for patience, do you think God gives them patience, or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If they pray for courage, does God give them courage, or does God give them the opportunity to be courageous? Wrestling with God is a crucial activity for true disciples. Sometimes we need to wrestle with God with our theological beliefs, both personal and as a church. And other times we need to wrestle with God concerning our relationships at work, at home, and at church. God honors our perseverance. Faithful disciples must constantly wrestle with God about implications of the gospel on personal lives and in the lives of church and society in the whole. Discipleship can sometimes be hard and complex work. Therefore, a wrestling match with the Almighty is never done. So don't be afraid to wrestle with God. Instead, join Jacob in the match. Jacob's wrestling match didn't result just in a limp, but it also brought a great blessing. And in the struggle, Jacob saw God face to face. Such is the mystery, the pain, and the beauty of wrestling with God. Amen. Let us now open our hearts and give back to the most loving and caring Lord. Father God, sometimes we do get into a shell. Sometimes we think we have to take on the whole world all by ourselves. Sometimes we do feel alone even when we pray. Father God, thank you that we have the opportunity to share. We have the opportunity to holler, to let you know the root of all our problems. But Father God, we also are blessed to be able to share and give back to you from the many blessings that you give back to us. It's in your name that we're here today, and in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
remember today to greet those around you to join us downstairs. Now, how wonderful it is that we have a Lord who doesn't want us to be submissive and just follow along. He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from you. He wants to know what's going on in your life. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord, it endures forever. Go today in his peace.